morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Gentlemen, last week we looked at the temptation of Jesus, and so this week I'd like to look at the mission of Jesus. And for that topic of discussion, our scripture to be used for that discussion comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. So could one of you be ever so kind as to read that little pericope for us?
Sure. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote the proverb to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Do you hear in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum? I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people of the synagogues were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
All right, thanks, Russ. All right, gentlemen, first impressions, thoughts, comments, questions.
His audience loved what he had to say about, you know, in the beginning, because they thought he was speaking just about them as Jews. But when he started telling them about Elijah and Elisha, who they were sent to help, they didn't like that because it was pertaining to someone outside of their little group they had, their comfort zone, who they thought deserved and God loved. But that made him mad, made him probably fearful.
Okay, I mean, do you see that today?
Yeah.
How so?
We have some people that think only, you know, they're Caucasian.
European Americans
are gonna go to heaven, or you know, God's grace only falls on certain races, certain denominations. They claim they're the chosen people. They shut out the thought of other nations being under God's grace, other religions being under God's grace. Very close-minded, nearsighted, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Anybody else? Kind of jumps out at you, Mike.
Well, I just thought it was fascinating that Jesus, in speaking what was prophesied by Isaiah, he fulfilled the scripture, and then Jesus went on himself to say that the scripture was fulfilled in your hearing.
Okay. All right. Good. 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 Kev, you got anything? Not at this time. Anybody else? Okay. Contextually, there. This little story we only find in Luke's Gospel. It's not in the others, so it's just strictly a Lucan pericope. I think it's fascinating when we look at the story and its development. It says Jesus goes into the synagogue. You know, it's kind of as his custom. It's kind of, you know, we go to church on Sunday, as is our custom. It's part of the ritual within the synagogue setting. There's scripture going to be read, so they say, "Hey, welcome back to your hometown. You know, it's nice to have you back in town." It's kind of like a college graduate comes home, or, you know, somebody on leave from the military service comes home and, you know, "Hey, it's good to have you," pat you on the back, all that kind of stuff. You know, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They actually, you know, they obviously recognize who he is. And then what's interesting is they hand him the scroll of Isaiah. Now, there's a nice little word there that says, and he unrolls it and he found the place, which means he's looking for a specific scripture to read. Right? It's not as if they say, here, we're reading Isaiah, you know, 13, da-da-da. He says, no, here's a scroll from Isaiah, and he found Isaiah 61. And he reads that, and then upon reading it, he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. That little reading of Isaiah 61 is for Luke, and should be for us too, that this is Jesus' mission statement. This is why I'm here. Now, they're real excited because from Isaiah, they've been waiting for this Messiah to show up for a long time, a few hundred years. And they're like, all right, yeah, our Lord Jesus, he's going to be the Messiah. You know, we're real happy. Happy, happy, happy. And he says, don't get too far ahead of yourself. I guarantee you, you're going to turn on me. Because this mission does include those whom you exclude. Now, we could look at the modern day American church. We can look at our culture. We can look at our governments, whatever. Whatever the institutions are, and we could see similar acts being perpetrated as far as the advancement of exclusivity. Right, they're excluded, as you said, Russ, either by race, maybe by faith, whatever. There seems to be an us and them. What's interesting about that, because he does cite the widow, Zephrath, and Naaman, both Gentiles, that the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament went to the Gentiles. They don't like that. This is a Jewish synagogue. Gentiles not welcome. Well, I think you're right. We could see some parallels. And so Jesus' mission statement then starts out saying, it isn't him. He's going to say, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's on me. All right, I've been anointed to share the good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. This is the Jubilee. That's now, for a Jewish community, they probably would have gotten excited because they would see themselves maybe being oppressed by the Roman Empire. They may have even seen themselves being, to some degree, oppressed by the Jewish religious establishment within the temple tradition. Right? We've talked before about these domination systems. But Jesus is pretty blunt. He says, look, this is who I've come for. And more often than not, sometimes we can see ourselves, even within our, it could be in our family settings, it could be within our political settings, it could be within our religious settings, that we push a lot of people to the periphery. And we bless the push. And Jesus says, you know, you push me too. Because I think there's a lot of truth that the old saying, you know, God created the human in God's image. And ever since then, the human has been trying to return the favor. Right? We create God in our image quite a bit. And part of our journey of life transformation here at Lenawee County Mission for you gentlemen is to rediscover your true identity. Now, this pericope then, looking at some of that exegetical features, is we need to see that there's a certain pattern that's taking place here. Last week we looked at the temptation story. Recall that?
Yeah.
And we talked about that in the desert experience. Right? What Jesus is really confronted with is the temptation for his identity. Because if he's not going to cling to his identity, he's going to be led into despair, doubt, and domination. Those are the three temptations. Despair, doubt, and domination. Well, his identity is what? Well, we back up one step further. What happened prior to him going to the desert? It was his baptism. In his baptism, the voice speaks to him, you are my beloved. And we've said before that that's the same voice. It's the same spirit of which Jesus is talking, has anointed him in Luke 4, is the same spirit that speaks to him, you are my beloved. That's his identity. So the pattern is one, beloved, the state of belovedness, the desert experience, the mission. Right on the heels of that pattern, which we find in all three of the synoptic gospels, is the call of discipleship. Jesus is not prepared for his mission until he has been tempted. Jesus is not prepared for his mission until he has, in a sense, overcome the desert experience. And you cannot overcome the desert experience until you can claim your true identity. Now that he's claimed his true identity, he's overcome the desert experience, and he has proclaimed his mission. Now he's ready to call people to do likewise. Gentlemen, here at Lenawee County Mission, you're in a discipleship program. We call it the Life Change Program. This discipleship program is grounded in this calling. So the number one Palmerism in Lenawee County Mission is?
You want to get to know God, see yourself completely.
Yeah, okay, and you play that back far enough, you come to the realization that you are beloved.
Yeah.
That's step one. We have to recover our true identity. Without it, we will not endure the desert experience. If I start not believing I am truly loved, I will start doubting God. I will start losing my hope, and the absence of hope leads to despair. I have a loss of hope, and I doubt or I don't trust God. I will trust something else, which tends to be a domination system, usually predicated on some form of violence. You cannot overcome the temptation of despair, doubt, and domination if you don't know who you truly are. Thus, those three temptations always start out, if you are truly the Son of God, right? If you are truly beloved, prove it. He doesn't have to. He proves it by claiming the reality of his identity. But that overcoming that desert experience is precisely what prepares him then to say, well, this is the mission statement. That I've come to share the good news with the poor, to set the captive free, sight to the blind, and to liberate the oppressed. Because sometimes the oppressed tend to be those who are being told what their identity is, and it's not their true identity. Much like Naaman and the widow, that Elijah and Elisha seem to know what their true identity was because they heard God. So if we were to jump one pericope further into Luke's gospel, we would see the beginning of chapter 5 is Jesus' call to the two disciples. And what he's calling them to, you need to be like me. You need to claim your identity. You will encounter a desert experience, and then you carry on the mission. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Listening audience, they're nodding their heads in approval. That's good. That's good. That's good. All right. Closing comments, thoughts, questions. How do you see yourself doing on your identity as beloved, your desert experience, your call to mission? Work in progress?
Work in progress. Obviously, my desert experience was in my past. You know, I've been here now for some time, and I feel like overcoming the temptation is what leads to strength. You know, there's always going to be temptation of whatever sort. You know, working through my personal temptations, it's a character building exercise. And with each victory over temptation, no matter how large or small, I think it reaffirms in my mind, anyways, how that victory was gained, you know, through the strength of faith in Christ. Not just having faith, but you know, living it out and proving to myself that you know, a different way of living brings different results. Resisting small temptations encourages me to face large temptations.
Good.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. It's definitely a work in progress. Giving in to your temptations, maybe to lash out or to not obey what you know is right to do and to say. It's humbling after the fact. But I think definitely, for most, probably for everybody, but for me in general, just temptation to doubt my identity, that's right on. Like, that's every, you know, that's all the time. You have to reaffirm yourself through the word.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if we look at how Jesus applies, you know, the despair, the doubt, the domination to Isaiah 61 as part of his mission. I mean, if you're poor, right? You may be without hope. I mean, Lenawee County Mission sees itself as a ministry that's trying to resurrect hope to the homeless and the hungry. Because when you're hurting like that, you know, where's my next meal coming from? Where can I stay where it's warm and it's dry? Hope. We're trying to give hope. When he talks about oppression, you know, I've come to set the captive and the oppressed free. Liberation from what? Domination. You can't really go out and fulfill the mission of Jesus and implement that which you yourself have not overcome. And the way we overcome despair, doubt, and domination is by the realization of our true identity. We are beloved. And sometimes people will practice domination even within religious settings, such as this, right, as far as the story in Luke here, by excluding others, by dominating others. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, and love and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.